Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown.
Hello everyone, welcome to worship today. It is the last Sunday in June. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us welcome God in his sanctuary by saying the call to worship together. Greetings to our brothers and sisters in the faith. We come to celebrate God's presence and God's love expressed through Jesus Christ. We come remembering Christ's life and ministry and the life we are called to live. We come as a pilgrim people searching for ways to live out our faith. We come seeking the strength to carry on our journey. Let us rejoice in God's gift to us. And as we remember that gift, let's light our Christ candle. If you have one at home, a candle that you light when you come to worship, let's do that together. Let's pray the opening prayer. In joy and in trouble, help us, gracious God, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. Amen. As we come to confession, let's bring our shortfalls into the light of Christ. Let us pray together. Loving God, help us. When we have run away, when we have turned our backs on love, when we have sought immediate satisfaction and not long-term healing, help us. Merciful God, forgive us. When we have been selfish, when we have been mean, when we have closed our ears to the cries of others. Forgive us. Powerful God, heal us. When we are so broken, we cannot move. When we don't know how to stem the bleeding of our wounds. When we are too ashamed to seek community, heal us. Give us the courage, the strength, and the hope to accept your grace and hear your call in Christ. Amen.
Friends, I have good news. Despite our reluctance or resistance, we can be assured that God is always for us. God calls us back to life with Him and encourages us with a love that we can never lose. No matter how hard we push back, no matter how often we forget or how far we run, we only need to turn to God or turn back to Him. And He's there with open arms, offering more forgiveness and grace than we can possibly imagine or ever need. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's Bible scripture reading is Luke 9, 51 to 62. It's from the New International Version. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And as he sent messengers on ahead, who went to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. He said, then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, Follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. This is the word of God.
Today I want to do something that I don't do very often. I am going to start with a personal story. It was probably close to 20 years ago now. I was fairly new to the Christian faith, and something happened that really jarred me. The details of what it was don't really matter for our purposes today. What you need to know is that while it didn't shake my newly found faith in Jesus, it did quite seriously shake my faith in the church and left me with a lot of very big questions. So I did the only thing I could think of to do. I reached out to a select few people who had very kindly been discipling me and supporting me. These were people I trusted, people I knew loved Jesus, and most importantly, people who were a lot further down the road in following him than I was at that point. One of those people said something to me that sounded very strange. It was a strange response. He said, Diane, we think about Jesus as being meek and gentle and mild, but the truth is that Jesus wasn't always gentle. And that was all he said. Talk about cryptic. I had no idea what to make of it. And even more, I had absolutely no clue how it connected to my moment of crisis. But it stuck with me. And I knew enough to know that that meant that I probably should pay some attention to it. So, somewhat frustrated with the lack of an easy answer, I sat down and I thought, well, I can read scripture as good as the next person, so I'm going to go through the stories from Jesus' life until I find some of these times when he wasn't gentle. And that's exactly what I did. And that exercise actually led me to this reading we've heard today. I remember coming to it and thinking, oh yeah, I don't really like that bit. I didn't understand what Jesus meant by all that talk about foxes having dens and birds having nests. So I just kind of skipped over it and went on to the next part. But when I did that, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was whispering in my mind and in my heart, stop, go back. So I did. I reread this passage, and then I sat and I prayed it. I tried to visualize the whole thing in my mind. I imagined myself standing with the people who were gathered around Jesus, and I imagined him saying these things to us. And as I prayed and I imagined that happening, I had this sense that Jesus was putting his arm around my shoulders and pulling me away from the group of people to stand beside him. And as he did that, I felt like he was saying, Diane, it's going to have to be enough that you belong to me. In that moment, his message to me was pretty clear to me. This life I had chosen of following Jesus was not always going to be easy. He was going to call me to go places I would really probably rather not go. There were going to be hard times. Challenges would come. Sometimes it would be glorious and there would be glimpses of that wonderful life of peace and love, joy and hope that Jesus promises us. But other times wouldn't be so glorious. People or the church wouldn't be what I hoped they would be. And in those times, that truth that I belong to him was going to have to be enough for me. Well, friends, all of those things have happened in the years since and probably will continue to happen at times. It's life. And I can honestly say that in some of those rough times, Jesus' words have come back to me. And they have sustained me because it has always been enough. It has always been what really matters, even when it has felt as if everything else is falling apart. Well, we all probably know that some days in this life of following Jesus are easier than others. Sometimes the road he leads us on gets pretty steep. And it seems like the days that we've just heard about in our reading today were challenging ones. For Jesus, for the people who had chosen to follow him, and even for the people who were wanting to try following him. The first verse from our reading today is a sneaky one. It doesn't come at the start of a chapter or a new section. It's just tucked right in there in the last part of chapter 9. In reality, with the gift of hindsight, we actually know that that moment that that first verse talks about was much more pivotal than it appears. Those words, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Those tell us that from that point on, everything had shifted. The final part of Jesus' lengthy journey that would end on a cross outside Jerusalem, it had begun in a very intentional way. For Jesus, from that point on, all roads led to Jerusalem. Well, as we heard, the road for that day was going to go through Samaria, an area that was often known for its antipathy towards Jews, especially Jews who were making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So Jesus sent an advance team ahead of him to make preparations. But, as Luke tells us, the Samaritans in those towns were far from hospitable. They actually refused to welcome Jesus. So when his disciples returned and told him about this, they were fired up. James and John, appropriately known as the Sons of Thunder, they were all for asking God to smite those nasty Samaritans with a lightning bolt or two. Well, of course, Jesus wasn't surprised, not by the Samaritans' hostility, nor by the response of his fiery disciples. He rebuked James and John for wanting vengeance, and instead he did exactly what he teaches his followers to do when we face rejection. He calmly moved on to another village where they hoped they might find a warmer welcome. Now, as you can imagine, when they were traveling, people would come up and they would say that they wanted to join in with Jesus and his followers. And in earlier stories from the Gospels, Jesus would often offer his characteristically warm invitation, "Follow me, come on along." But Jesus was different this time. He seemed intent on ensuring that people understood that following him was not going to be easy. He explained that they were going to be roughing it. They would be relying on the hospitality and kindness of other people to survive. Kindness that wouldn't always be forthcoming. In the journey ahead, Jesus and his followers were often going to face resistance and challenge, not just in Samaria, but in many places. As Jesus got more intent on his destination, Jerusalem, and on what awaited him there, people increasingly struggled to accept that he really was who he was claiming to be. And even more, they struggled to accept that the abundant life that God had promised was somehow going to be achieved by him dying. Jesus also seemed to want people to understand that if they were going to follow him, they couldn't hesitate. His mission couldn't wait, not even to bury a parent or say goodbye to a family. Jesus was really clear here. He was anything but gentle and mild. From this point on, his followers would need to move ahead with the same kind of single-minded determination he had. He had resolutely set out for Jerusalem and for what would happen there. And his followers would need to do the same, even if what awaited them was difficult and challenging and seemed to be somehow entirely different and so very much less than what they hoped for. Using one of the farming analogies he was famous for, Jesus said their mission was going to be like plowing a field. If you turn and look back when you're plowing, things tend to go way off course. And according to Jesus, it would be that way for his followers. Only determined, forward-moving steps would do. The stakes were too big to hesitate or to look back, and there was no time to waste. Now, many a preacher, including me, have heard in these verses a clear call for Jesus' followers to emulate him in his single-minded focus and sense of purpose. And that is certainly one interpretation for this passage. But this time around, I found myself feeling challenged not to stop there, but instead to come full circle and finish back where it actually begins, with Jesus. Remember, as our reading began, he was setting out to minister to the people of Samaria, people most Jewish folks would have seen as outsiders. People most Jews had a long and conflicted relationship with. But Jesus was intent on bringing his message of life and love to those Samaritans. As difficult as their history between them and the Jews might have been, and as poorly as he and his message might actually be received in some places. Warm welcome or not, Jesus was determined that the Samaritans would know that they were invited to be a part of God's kingdom life. Quite simply, because that's how Jesus is. Because that's how God is. God's love for all humankind and for all of this glorious, complicated world is absolutely unending and unwavering. And it is that love, that steadfast, unchangeable love that drives Jesus. That's what gives him that single-minded sense of purpose that we see here. God will not let difficulty or challenge or even flat-out rejection keep him from loving us. He is determined that we all get the chance to embrace the gift of life he has for us all, simply because he longs for every one of us to be a part of the life of wholeness that we can find with him. God loves every one of us to the very core, even when we're not being particularly lovable. Doesn't matter to God, not one bit. Friends, last week James shared with us a great message, reminding us of the covenant promises that God has made to us and is in the process of fulfilling. God did make those covenants, and they are absolutely foundational for us. But let us be clear on this. God doesn't love us because of the covenants he's made with us. He made those covenants because he loves us. God made that first covenant and everyone he has made since simply because he loves us. And he is determined to be with us and to be our God. He wants us to experience the blessings he has for us, and as a result, for us to become people who join him in blessing the world. That's what's at the very heart of the first covenant God made with Abraham and his descendants, and it's actually what's at the heart of every covenant he's made since. And nothing is going to get in the way of that. Nothing. So challenges may come, for sure. The reality of other obligations may pull at us. Rejection might sting. But through all of that, God is there with us, for us, loving us. For we are his people. We belong to him. And friends, no matter what we face, that is, and always will be, more than enough. Amen.
The holy holiday when the longed for Messiah would appear with the power to break the chains of sin and death and rise triumphant from the grave. By faith, the church was called to go.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we, your people, come to you this day, fully aware that we need your presence and your help in our lives, yet aware as well that we often forget to stop and turn to you for that help. We get caught up in the troubles and turmoils of daily living. We become busy with priorities that we've set for ourselves and those that come to us from our work or our families or our friends. We try to be loving, to seek joy and peace, to be gentle, patient, and kind, and yet too often these things elude us. So help us. Help us, God, to root ourselves more deeply in you, to listen for your voice when we are troubled, to fully rely on you and your grace when we are trying to do what is right, to remember you and trust in you when we're challenged, to stop and remember your goodness and your love when we start each day, so that like trees by a stream that send down their roots into the water, we might live lives that bear good fruit. God, we pray for the concerns of our world, for the nations and their leaders, for our home, Canada, and for all those who govern federally, provincially, and municipally. We pray for our neighbors, those we know and those we don't, that you would be present and providing for their needs. We pray for those who are ill in any way, for those who are grieving, and for those who don't know where to turn. Be with each one today, God, tangibly. And now we also pray for those who come to each of our minds and hearts, perhaps a family member we've prayed for over many weeks or years, or a friend who is struggling to find meaning in their life, someone we know who needs healing, or a stranger who needs the comfort of your Spirit. Lord, hear your people now as we each pray. Thank you for being our God and making us your people. Thank you for growing in us and for helping us to grow. Thank you for the ministries you entrust to us. As we go about it each day, may your will be done in us and by us, both now and forevermore. We offer these prayers in the name of the one who has taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Once more, we give you thanks for all the ways that you give to the work of God here at St. Stephen's and the world beyond. Would you pray with me over all the gifts that have been given this week? Giving God, we give you thanks and praise for all your gifts to us. We know that you are the source of every good thing, that light and love come from you. You have created us, and you continue to breathe life into us through the power of your Holy Spirit. You have given us so much, and it is because of this that we now give to your work and ask that all we have given would be used to further the coming of your kingdom to the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go out into the world in peace. Live as those who have tasted life. Help those willing to be helped. Trust and be trusted. Forgive and be forgiven, love and be willing to be loved. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.
I believe in the risen one. I believe. my